Good afternoon. My name is Kelly Miller, and I am first and foremost a parent of a boy with Duchenne. This is my sixth conference, and I'm just amazed thinking about where I was 6 years ago, you know, sitting in the audience and feeling sad and feeling hopeless. And where I'm at right now is just this awesome place of empowerment, and I hope you know that you can get to that point if you're new here, if you're newly diagnosed. There's a chance for you to be hopeful and to live a happy life with your son and teach him how to be happy and to enjoy every moment. So I really want to express that to you if you're new, that empowering yourself is going to help you to empower your son. And I want to thank Pat for having me here amongst my angels, really, that I've called them over the past 6 years. Every year I come, I learn something new, and it benefits my son. So my involvement with PPMD has been not only beneficial to my son, more than I could ever express, but also very inspiring for me. Building my own private practice as an educational advocate, I like to call myself more a consultant than an advocate, because ideally you're going to be the advocate. So that's kind of where I approach where I go with parents, is really where you want to be is not me telling you what you need in your IEP, but you being able to advocate for your son. And then the ultimate goal is for your son to advocate for himself. So that's always been my approach. So I'm going to start with where special education is based out of, and it comes from a law called IDEA, and it stands for Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. It authorizes special education, and it provides for an IEP, which is an individualized education plan or program. As far as Duchenne goes, your son can automatically qualify for special education services and an IEP just by being identified as an orthopedic impairment. So that's something that you need to know, because I've seen a lot of schools approach parents in, I guess, the light of, you don't really need an IEP, we can just work with you. Your son doesn't show any educational deficits, so you might not need an IEP. And I just want to let you know that you are qualified. Your son is qualified for an IEP just by having Duchenne. The purpose of IDEA is to provide educational benefit from the educational experience. So that's where it all bases out of. It's not the best. It's not meant to provide the best education possible, but it's supposed to provide some educational benefit. And when you understand that, you'll be able to kind of know how to advocate, because coming into an IEP and demanding the best experience is not something that the law actually requires. It requires at least some benefit from education. As far as a 504 plan, it comes from a law called, it's the Section 504, and it provides protection for all students with disabilities, but it's not part of IDEA, and it's very limited. I've seen Duchenne, boys with Duchenne who are able to function pretty well in school with just a 504 plan, but just understand that it's not guaranteed and it doesn't have to be individualized and it doesn't have to include goals for progress. So it might be something like making sure that there's accessibility and on the campus. So the definition of special education is specially designed instruction provided at no cost to parents. It can take place anywhere. So what you might hear a lot is special education is not a place. So your child is not placed into a certain room just for special education. That's not how it works. So special education is just an acknowledgement that we're going to design instruction uniquely for this child. It could take place in the general classroom with supports. It can take place in a resource room. It can be all day in a resource room or pull out for part of the day. It can even be in a hospital or at your house. And it includes physical education. The purpose is to provide a free and appropriate education to meet the unique educational needs of your child and to prepare them for independent living. And that's where I really focus my efforts, is are we planning for this child to be able to live independently and giving him the skills that he needs to do that? So as far as DMD specifically, like I said before, you can qualify for comprehensive special education services based on simply based on the DMD diagnosis. You don't have to get a separate diagnosis to receive services that are related to academics and behavior. So there's a lot of research that shows that boys with Duchenne have a higher tendency to have ADHD symptoms. You don't have to have a separate ADHD diagnosis to receive services that would be related to that. So that's something that I realized quickly when I was working with schools, is that Duchenne in itself comes with a lot of implications and a lot of considerations. And just knowing that information right there qualifies you for special education and qualifies you for a lot of the services without having to go that extra route of saying, okay, my son has DMD, ADHD, OCD, and the list continues. You can just focus on the Duchenne. But with that said, you definitely want to have a comprehensive evaluation, whether the school provides it or whether you go to a private practitioner. My personal opinion is that you would receive a lot more information from a private evaluation, and it just depends on where you are. Sometimes you can get that paid by the school. Sometimes you have to pay for it. Sometimes your insurance will pay for it. So there's different routes that you can go about. But it does provide some detailed information that's going to help you to plan in the IEP. So one thing I realized quickly was that I needed to use the research that I learned here at the conference to help me build this IEP with the team. And so I'm not going to go through what each researcher has found. You can find that on PPMD, and I'm sure that you'll have that information provided in some of the breakout sessions. But I did kind of want to give you an idea of the more common researchers that I've quoted within IEPs to help me to get to a point of identifying where we can help my son and others. So as far as the IEP goes, you need to remember that it's a collaborative process. And it's a flexible document. It's a flexible process that kind of develops and changes as your son's needs change. It involves, in a basic sense, present levels of performance, measurable annual goals, and then a list of services and supplementary aids and accommodations that are going to help you get to the goal. The common areas of need for DMD tend to be academics, physical health, mobility, and technology. The thing that you need to remember when you're planning goals is to be goal-oriented, thinking about your son's future needs. For example, when my son was in first grade, I really wanted him to have some sort of word processing ability at school rather than pencil and paper only. Even though he fully was able to write and color and do all the things that first graders can do, I knew that by middle school he was probably going to have a difficult time with writing, and so I wanted to make sure he had the typing skills. So that was one of the goals that I ensured was within his IEP, so that from the time of first grade to sixth grade, he would have developed those typing skills that would actually enable him to use it to bridge the gap as far as physical ability. The heart of the IEP are goals. So I say this because a lot of people want to know, what should I get for my son? What should I ask for? And what you need to remember is that what you get and what you ask for all comes from the goals. So, and the goals come from the evaluation. So the evaluation is going to show you the areas of need. Then you're going to develop goals based on the present level of performance. And then from there, the school and you will decide what kinds of aids and what kinds of services your son will provide to reach that goal. The goals guide the whole entire process. And as far as what you're looking for in a goal, we always use the term SMART. They need to be specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. One example of a goal might be Johnny will read a grade-level text with 90% accuracy and 90% fluency using the developmental reading inventory by a certain time. So it needs to be that specific. And that way, a year from now, you can look at that and say, has he made progress? Because the goal of special education is to get them to grade level or beyond, and so to show progress. So if he's not showing progress, that's not a good thing. So you want to use those goals. Those are going to be what you can use to modify and change the plan if it's not working. As far as IEP services and supports that you can receive or maybe should consider, I've just provided a list here that of typical services that are provided for boys with DMD. So academic supports, I'll talk about each of these things in a little bit more detail. Paraprofessional support, assistive technology, physical therapy, occupational therapy, adapted PE, mobility, and behavior support. And I say possible support and services because each of our sons are different. So your son may not require some of these services, or maybe he'll require them later and not now, or maybe he required them before but not anymore. So they're all just ideas. But I know when I was approaching my son's IEP, and he was 6 years old, and I had no idea. I didn't even know what to ask for, what to look for. So this is why I provide that for you. As far as paraprofessional assistance, this can be a little controversial. Basically, what it is an aid, and it can be for any amount of time during the day. It can be useful. Having a paraprofessional can be useful for helping your son get around the campus, for behavior support. A lot of times we'd like to provide a behavior support plan, and it might be difficult for the teacher to maintain that, but the aide might be able to assist with that in collaboration with the teacher. And then just general classroom assistance. What I find is when there's a boy with Duchenne in the classroom, that requires a lot of energy from the teacher. And with the growing class sizes, it can be a difficult endeavor. So a lot of times I recommend the aides may not even be sitting with your child, but just assisting in the classroom. That's going to help your child to receive the independent or the one-on-one attention from the teacher. So just remember that you can utilize them in different ways. Be specific about the hours required. It needs to be within the IEP and how the aid will be utilized. It's not always beneficial. Sometimes we find that boys can become dependent when they have a paraprofessional with them all the time. So you need to remember that it's flexible, again, just as the process is. Sometimes you're going to have to reevaluate the use of the paraprofessional, maybe reduce the time or change the way that the aid is being utilized. And eventually the goal is to get to a point where your son may not need to have that support. And it really depends on your son. For my son, he did require the support, but I understand that not all of us will. So the one thing to remember is that when you are discussing the paraprofessional and the IEP, you need to ensure that the teacher is the primary educator in that classroom, and that there's constant communication going on between the teacher and the paraprofessional. That way you're ensuring that your son is being taught by the teacher, a certified educator who is basing their instruction on standards. But the paraprofessional can provide some beneficial support. Assistive technology can address academic areas of need, math and writing and reading. There's a lot of programs out there, to name a few. I think Dragon Speak is one where it assists with reading and increases comprehension and fluency. Math programs, a lot of the boys with Duchenne are found to have some difficulties with math automaticity, so learning those facts that they usually learn first, second grade, sometimes they have difficulty with that. So just providing another avenue for learning them through the computer at school, it can be very beneficial, making it fun. Having a laptop or an Alpha Smart for me was one of the first things that I wanted to make sure my son had, but that tied back into the typing skills that I wanted him to develop by middle school. All of these things can help to maintain, increase, or improve functional capabilities. So it's something you definitely want to address in the IEP. Mobility, you want to plan for use of a wheelchair or scooter, and that includes safety and in what ways are you going to use it. For my son, he's not always using the scooter, so we needed to identify the times when he needed to use it, when he didn't. And, of course, just making sure that everything's accessible throughout the school. And then just providing for, you can ask for transportation, pick up and drop off from your home to school as part of the IEP if that's needed. I know in California, there's no, most of the schools have eliminated busing, but my son still receives busing because of the IEP. And you definitely want to address field trips as well. Behavioral support. A lot of, as I mentioned before, sometimes boys with Duchenne are found to have some difficulties with attention, and they show some OCD or autistic-like symptoms. So including a behavior support plan can be very beneficial. And also as well as social support. So counseling, it's good to have the counselor in the team within the team so that you can discuss possible groups that your son could be in or playground activities that would help to integrate other children into his playing, which is going to help him with his socialization. As far as academic support, you want to look at increasing the time to work, decreasing the workload, looking at more quality, not quantity. Proximity to teacher can be shown sometimes to improve attention. Just making sure that there is specialized, individualized instruction. And visual aids can assist with boys who are having difficulty with processing information that the teacher is providing. I always tell parents to make sure the team stays remains strength-based. So we look at the weaknesses that the children have, but we all want to use their strengths to help them improve their weaknesses. So always talk about what's good as well as what is needed improvement. For physical therapy, you can receive physical therapy in school. And what I usually use as far as my rationalization for that is that it helps the child to access general curriculum by maintaining strength and flexibility. All those things tie right back into being able to continue to stay in the classroom and learn. Occupational therapy can be something that is provided at school as well for maintaining improving independence and daily living skills. And adapted PE is also something that can be within the IEP. It can be provided in a variety of ways. It can be within the general PE class where there's just adaptations being made for your son, or he can be pulled out into a totally separate adapted PE class. So it's really a personal decision for me. I decided it was more beneficial for my son to be pulled out into a separate class because he didn't like to have to adapt where the kids would be running in laps. He would be measuring, you know, how fast they ran. He just didn't want to do that. So it was a lot easier for him to handle. As far as tips when you approach your IEP, remember that you are a team player, but you are, in my mind, the center of the IEP. You're the expert of your child. Look ahead when you're planning, as I said before. Make sure you prepare for meetings, and I think it's very helpful to have someone there with you, because sometimes it can be very intimidating when you're faced with a group of 10 to 15 educators speaking their lingo, and you're kind of feeling like you're the odd man out. So to have a support there is, even if it's just a friend, can really help with your confidence. Make sure you do your homework on DMD so that you can use that when you're addressing areas of need. Special education laws are important to know, and educational terms so that you're understanding what the teachers and the professionals are speaking about. I included some resources here that you can access once this is placed on the PPMD website. One thing that I definitely want to highlight is the guides that PPMD provide, Education Matters. There's Education Matters for Teachers and Education Matters, which is focused only on adapted PE. So those have been very helpful. I've provided them to all of my son's previous teachers, and they've always appreciated it. And it helped them at the beginning of the year to understand where we were coming from with my son. Another kind of hint that I would do is perhaps provide a binder of who your son is, a scrapbook of who he is for the team, so they can kind of get to know him and the disorder before approaching the IEP. It's really going to help them. And I just want to thank you for having me. This is my son, Elijah, and he's almost 11, and this was taken at Mother's Day. So he's doing very well, and I really do attribute that, a lot of that, to the professionals that I've been able to meet here at the conference. feel free to give me a call if you ever need assistance with your IEP. I would feel honored to assist you in any way. You can email me or give me a call. Thank you.